So I wanted to deviate another week from our series that we've been working through just to take a moment to talk about baptism so that those of you who have been baptized can be reminded about an important step that you took in your walk with Christ. And for those of you who have heard us talk about it and you've watched maybe the last couple times we've had baptisms and you've thought about it and you didn't really know, that maybe today things would just be a little bit clearer for you on why we do this thing called baptism. I mean, why do we get people in the water and hold them under, you know, some longer than others, you know? And I'm willing to take bribes, parents, for how long you want your kids under the water, but why do we do that? Maybe you've seen that before and go, well, that's an interesting thing. Why do we do that? Why do we start with that? And so it's not like somebody just decided, hey, we need a ritual in the church. Let's take people in the water and dunk them, okay? It's because it really started back with the early church wanting to identify people with what Christ has done. And it started even before that with a man by the name of John the Baptist. Who you really call John the Baptizer, who was baptizing people to identify him with the message, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at near. He was getting people prepared for what Jesus was about to do. He was getting people prepared for the cross and people prepared for this whole movement the kingdom of God called the church. And so Jesus even himself identifies with that and is baptized. And so the early church then just begins this. When people repent and decide to follow Jesus, they are baptized. That is something that they do, and it's really their next step, okay? And it's really your next step in following Jesus. It's your next step. It's the next thing that should happen. It's an important part of what should happen. Now, as I say, it's really important, and it's something that you should think about, and it's something you should consider. I also want to make sure you understand this. It is not necessary for salvation. It's important from salvation. Sometimes we get those mixed up, and we start then making things more important than they really are, and all of a sudden baptism becomes significant. If you're not baptized, you're not going to heaven, and I don't know where people get this stuff, but that's what happens. We go on this real deep end of, oh, you have to now because it's a must. And anytime someone tells you something has to happen for someone to be saved, the best place for you to go is the scene at the cross where Jesus is speaking to the thief. It's a powerful scene, and it's a scene that really debunks all this stuff that people want to add to salvation. The Jesus plus stuff is what I like to call it. In this case, Jesus plus baptism. So if you remember the scene at the cross, one of the thieves looks over to Jesus and he says, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Okay? In other words, I am trusting in you, Jesus, for my salvation. I have no chance. Okay? This is the end of my life. I have messed up my life living the way I wanted to, ultimately breaking laws, and now I'm dying for my sins, for my crimes. Please save me. Now, what did Jesus do in that moment? Well, in that moment, Jesus looks at him with utter grace and says, what? Today, you will be with me in paradise. If there's anything to add to the cross, do you realize what Jesus has to do? Wait a minute, stop. We got to do something here. We got to get this guy baptized. God, make it rain, okay? Let's just drown him with water right on the cross. So if you ever get confused, okay, if you're ever watching one of the guys on TV late at night, which probably you shouldn't, okay, and he confuses you on something that gets added to the cross, just go back to that scene. Because that scene is powerful. Jesus adds nothing. He gives him fully himself and says, today you will be with me in paradise. So this is an important step for you, but it's not necessary for your salvation. It's important from your salvation. And I hope that you will see that today in the scripture we're going to look at. And it's really about making a private decision public. Part of why it's so cool to do baptisms is that you get to tell us your story. Because for most of you, we don't know your story. Some of you have shared it. Some of you, we have shown videos and done things to help talk about your testimony and when you came to know Christ. But for several of you, we don't. And baptism is one of those moments we get to learn your story. And sometimes your story includes camp. Sometimes your story includes a church service just like this. Sometimes your story includes a small group. Sometimes your story includes a family member who prayed with you and helped you come to know Christ as your Savior. But you have a story. It's a really powerful story. You don't think your story is not important if it's not filled with a bunch of difficult circumstances. You have a story where you met Jesus and you chose to find him. And you chose to accept the grace that he gave to you. And you chose to follow him. That's an important part of your story. And whether that happened at 6, 16, or 60, it is an incredible story. And part of doing this is we get to hear your story. Because before now, your story's been shared with maybe a few other people, you know, who have asked you, a few other people maybe in your small group, if you've ever asked that question, or your family members. And by doing this, you identify to the whole church that comes and gathers, hey, I have made a decision to follow Jesus. I made a private decision, and there was a few people there. I prayed with a counselor, I prayed with a pastor, and found Jesus. And now I want everybody to know that is what I am doing. So the passage I want to take you to this morning is one I've used quite often for baptism, because I think it's a very powerful one that Paul uses. And it's in the book of Romans chapter 6. You can turn there, you can get on the Bible app, go to the events page, it'll take you to all the verses we're going to be looking at. But you need to understand what Paul's doing here. Paul is going to talk about baptism, not because he's hoping that the people in Rome will read this letter and go, oh, we ought to get baptized. It's because most of the day they have been baptized. It was such a part of the culture to become followers of Jesus and then get baptized that he's speaking to a church of people who are already baptized. And now what he's going to do is he's going to connect how important it is. He's really going to remind them, hey, think back to that day you were baptized. Do you realize the powerful symbolism of that day to the way that you should live now following Jesus? That's what he's going to do in Romans chapter 6. He's going to connect all of this for us so that those of you who are considering baptism, who are thinking about it, you can understand this is an incredible step. You should consider taking it, and this is what it means. And for those of you in the room like myself, this is a part of your story, okay? You have a moment where you were baptized, whether in this church or another church. You can go back to that day and be reminded that day for you has some incredible symbolism that you can just kind of dwell in its richness this morning and go, wow, great reminder of me where I am with Jesus. So this is Romans chapter 6. You can follow along as we walk through it. Well then, he said, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Because they got confused as sometimes we get confused. Well, if God gives us grace, can't we just live however we want and just ask God for more grace? No, that's not how it works. He says, what? You've died to sin. When you came to know Christ as your Savior, part of what it was dying to sin. It was recognizing that you just weren't a bad person. You weren't a terrible person. You were a dead person. And needed to be raised to life in Christ. So watch what he does. Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in, and here's our word, baptism, we joined him in his death. Where he's like, oh, I didn't realize we were doing that. That's what he's doing for them. He's like, hey, wait a minute. Remember your baptism day? So you're stuck in this point of, well, can't we just do whatever we want because God gives us so much grace? Remember that day? Part of the symbolism, Paul says, of that day was that you were declaring you died to sins. You joined Jesus in his death. You joined him in his death. You went through the symbolism of doing that. He continues, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. All he's doing is taking them back to that symbolism. He's not taking them back just to that moment where they accepted Christ as Savior. He's going back to a symbol. And he goes, wait a minute, can I take you back to your baptism day? Can I take you back to the time where you were lowered into the water? Because that meant you joined with Christ in his death and you were buried. And when you came up out of that water, it was that you were raised to new life. Because that's the symbolism of what happens in salvation. And we get to go through that in baptism. So because we're terrible, we forget stuff all the time, we might be reminded in a powerful way that we died in our sins, was raised back to life in Christ. And so now our life is all about Christ. It's all about what God wants to do in our hearts and lives. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives and that we are no longer slaves to sin. You're going to pick up this theme over and over again because this is where he's going to go to tell them, this is why you shouldn't just live to do whatever you want. Because you've come to know Christ. You have been raised to new life. You've experienced the symbolism of that in baptism. Why now are you over here going, I just want to live however I want to. God's got a lot of grace. And he goes, but you died to that. You died to that, and you no longer have to live by doing whatever it is you want to do. You can actually live for Christ. That is what he has done in your heart and life. And what baptism did for you was identify yourself with him and be a symbolism of what he has actually done in your heart and life through salvation. Continues, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we will also live with him. This is important when you're struggling. This is important when that sin in your life that you just wish would go away, you just wish wouldn't keep creeping up, shows up, and you're like, wait a minute. I've made decisions. Those decisions I made have been powerful decisions that say this sin is dead. Okay? I no longer have to live that way. I no longer have to do those things. I don't have to live according to those things. I've been raised to life. I will live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead, and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. And when he died once to break the power of sin. All symbolism to help us understand what Christ has done for us. He continues, but now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Now you've been raised to a different life. Now you've been raised to walk in a different way. You have to do what everybody else is doing. You have to get caught up in doing the same old things you've always done before. The power of sin has been broken. You have been raised to new life in Christ. Ultimately, he's telling us what? The baptism pictures for me the work Christ has done for me and in me. Just in case I have problems wrapping myself, okay, and wrapping my head around what's happened to me, I've now gone through the symbolism where I've now understood. I was dead in my sins, okay? No hope, no chance, no life, okay? Jesus saved me, found me, redeemed me, and now I am raised to new life. So I live differently, walk differently, talk differently. Everything about my life should be different now because I have been raised to new life. It pictures for us. Okay? So for those of you who have been baptized, you can go back to that moment. You can remember, hey, that pictured for me what Christ did for me and in me. This is really important when we're struggling. This is really important when we just feel like we can't, you know, beat the temptations that come our way. That we got to remember, wait a minute, what's happened for me? I've been raised to new life. And so much of Paul's letters are just reminding people, hey, you don't have to live this way anymore. We don't live like everybody else lives. That's what last week was about, right? With our words. We don't live like everybody else does. We don't use our words like everybody else does. We use our words to actually build into people and do something constructive and positive and incredible in their lives. Why? Because we've been raised to new life. And in that new life, even our vocabulary changes, our words change, and now all of a sudden our words aren't just whatever we want and say whatever we want. They actually have the opportunity to build into somebody else's life. They have the opportunity to construct and build somebody else up. They have the opportunity to build up our spouse, to build up our kids, to build the people we do church together with. They have that power and opportunity. Why? Because we've been raised to new life. And we walk in a new way. So it pictures for me the work Christ has done for me and in me. And it also identifies me with Christ in his death and his resurrection. It's an identity that I have now joined him in his death and resurrection. Being dead, buried, that's the way I used to live. That's who I used to be. That's what I used to do. And now I live a new life. Different person, different priorities, different way. And this is why, and sometimes we get confused by this. This is why so much of the New Testament is, this is the way we live now. This is what we do. This is why we don't do what everybody else does. And so often, how much do we get caught up in that? You just want to live by everybody else, do what everybody else does. Yeah, well, that's fine, but that's not life for the most part. That isn't that rich and satisfying life that Jesus spoke to us about in John 10:10. It isn't that. I know it appears to be that way. Okay? It appears so often. It's marketed in such a way that what looks, that what is sin and what is destructive ultimately to yourself, to your marriage, to your family. I understand it's marketed as rich and satisfying and you can't live without it. Okay? But if you would see people on the backside, which marketing doesn't tell you about, it's nothing but death, destruction, and ruin. And that's where you have to trust Jesus. That's where you have to trust him. Hey, he has raised us to new life, and he's going to ask us to stay away from certain things. Okay? Because he knows doesn't lead to a rich and satisfying life. Okay? Might lead to a rich and satisfying movie that's fake, but it doesn't lead to a rich and satisfying life. And you and I constantly have that choice in front of us. Because we live in a culture that markets to us based on, oh, you really want to live this way. You really want to do these things. And even though so often Jesus says, don't go there, it is nothing but death, destruction, ruin for you, we just get appealed to it. And we're told, hey, baptism identifies me that Christ died for my sins and was raised to new life. And I was dead in my sins and raised to new life in him. He continues. And this next part is really important because it's so much about the power of sin in our lives. So he continues. And do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to its sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Okay? He says, like, you have a choice of what you do with who you are. You have a choice what you do with your body. Don't give it over to do whatever it is that you want to do. Don't give it over to evil to just serve sin and do whatever sin wants. Don't give yourself to that. It continues. Instead, give yourself completely to God. For you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master. For you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. It signifies for us that the power of sin has been broken and I live a new life. And that means I get to choose what I give myself to. I get to choose what I use myself for. I get to choose what I use my body for. Do I use it to serve sin? Do I use it to serve what is good and what is right? That's what it says. Do you realize that baptism helps for us? It signifies for us, it pictures for us that that power's been broken. You no longer have to do everything that you think you want to do. That sometimes is hurtful, destructive, and sinful. You don't have to give yourself to that. You don't have to give yourself over to that. You can actually give yourself to God. Why? Because the power of sin was broken, and you live a new life. That happened at the moment of salvation, but sometimes we miss that. So we have this powerful picture called baptism where we're reminded that we are raised to new life, we live a different way, we go down a different path, we do something different. A lot of significance in this little event, isn't there? There's a lot. There's a lot more than just getting somebody wet, okay? That's what I want you to get today. There's just something very rich and significant and meaningful in it that it deserves your consideration. It deserves for you, if that's never happened in your life, to consider, oh, that might be an important step to take. That might be important for me to help me understand what Christ has done in me and for me. That might help me when at times I'm confused and don't know what I'm doing and make some really poor choices. That might help me to go back and revisit that moment. Oh yeah, that's who I used to be. That's what I used to do. But I have been raised to new life, and I walk a different way and talk a different way and live a different way. And I no longer have to give myself to doing the wrong things and living that way. I can actually wake up every day and I can give myself to God. That my words would be given to God, that everything I have would be given to God, and that He would do something incredible through it. And if you've ever needed a picture of that, the power of sin has been broken, that God has brought you forth into a new life, baptism does just that. It helps us to picture that when in days it becomes very difficult and you wonder, what on earth am I doing and why I'm always caught in the same old, same old. Put it this way, baptism is a step full of meaning and significance to help you make public your private decision to follow Jesus. Because in that moment of you deciding to follow Jesus, a lot happens. A lot happened that has to continually be unpacked for you to understand how incredible that moment was when you decided to follow Jesus. When you decided, you know what, trusting my own way isn't working, okay? There's no hope for me, and so I'm going to trust that Christ died in my place, rose again for my salvation, and that He has forgiven everything that I have done because of the cross. I can be forgiven, redeemed, set free. That means all the stuff I did when I was dead and giving myself over to sin and doing all those things, God can actually take those and redeem them and do something wonderful with them and use them in somewhere great. That's what redeem means. That He redeems our life. He uses them for something great, even if we haven't been using them to do anything great. And all of that in that moment. And part of what has to be fleshed out and helped us understood is how powerful that moment was. And what it looks like to live then a life of following Jesus. And sometimes we need a symbol. Sometimes we need to do something that helps us understand that moment even more. Baptism helps us understand that moment. It helps us understand that moment we trusted Christ. It helps us understand and kind of relive what happened. I wasn't just a bad person, I was dead. And I was dead and Christ saved me and redeemed me and found me and brought me forth to new life. And now that life is totally different from the life I used to live. It is totally different from the life most people live. It is a rich and satisfying life that we are brought forth to live for the rest of our days here on earth and for eternity with Christ. That's the beauty and significance of baptism. Again, has nothing to do with your salvation, has to do from your salvation, how important it is you begin to fully understand all that Christ has done in you and for you. And baptism helps. It's another piece to help you understand what has happened, and it's important to make your private decision public. So I want you to consider that this morning. I want those of you who've been baptized to thank the Lord for that moment where you began to even more unpack what He has done for you. And for those you consider, you just consider, hey, is this the next step I'm ready to take? I made a decision to follow Jesus, and now this is the next step I am ready to take in my walk with him. I want to pray for us, and then we're going to gather around the table. The two things that Jesus asked us to do was what? Baptize, okay, and to gather around his table and remember his death through the bread and the cup. So let's pray together, and then we're going to gather around the Lord's table this morning.